Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos is brought to you by...
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500-MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
Coming back here on Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos here on WLS AM 890. I want to thank George Offman for coming on the show. Man, he has been around. I've been listening to him since I was a little kid, covering the Blackhawks, covering the Bulls, for the Score, WBBM, WGN Radio. A wonderful voice and a great perspective for what's going on with the Chicago Bears now, because this is something that's been going on with the Chicago Bears for a long time. All right, just a couple of thoughts from our conversation. One, I just want to go back to the Trace Armstrong factor. For those that might have missed it in part one, I'm going to be very honest with you. This is a pet theory of mine. But just like a lot of things in business, this comes down to the people that you know. When we talk about the McCaskey family, when we talk about George McCaskey specifically, quote unquote, I am not a fan. I'm not a football evaluator. I am just a fan. So ever since Jerry Angelo, there has been a feeling that the Chicago Bears, from a football perspective, have been wandering in the wilderness a little bit, to the point that they've had to hire outside help, namely someone like Ernie Accorsi, to come in and make the give the Chicago Bears recommendations for people that they should hire. In the last coaching cycle, there was a rumor or a speculation that the next football of operations, president of football operations for the Chicago Bears, should be Trace Armstrong. For those of you that don't remember, he's a former Chicago Bear and now runs a very successful, very lucrative athlete agency. He has a lot of clients that play in the NFL. He is a very smart man, incredibly talented, and judging by his business, the dude works incredibly hard. I believe, in my opinion, I think the Chicago Bears probably reached out to Trace Armstrong to see if he'd maybe want to take the job. And because Trace Armstrong's current agency is so successful, I don't think he wanted to leave that behind. But I, in my estimation, feel like that Trace Armstrong has been helping out the Chicago Bears with counsel over the last several years. And look no further than some of the people that have been hired. General Manager Ryan Poles, he is a client of Trace Armstrong. Matt Eberflus, client of Trace Armstrong. Luke Getsy, client of Trace Armstrong. And also the now dearly departed Shane Waldron, no longer the offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears. His agent is Trace Armstrong. And keep in mind, as we move into an offseason, and if Matt Eberflus wants to, or if Matt Eberflus is no longer going to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears, a lot of people out there in this town want Ben Johnson, offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions. Guess who his agent is? It's Trace Armstrong. And I get it. Sometimes when you create these types of relationships, there is a two-way street here. Of course, Trace Armstrong is helping the Chicago Bears find what they consider to be good and talented people on the football side. And Trace Armstrong is also serving his clients by helping them get jobs, get promotions, and move up in the NFL circle. My question is, does this prohibit, guardrail, or diminish the net that Ryan Poles can cast to find, hopefully, the next head coach for the Chicago Bears? I don't think Matt Eberflus is sticking around. And I tell you, I'd be happy to come on this show and tell you that I was wrong if they hang on to him, if really the detriment to all this is the fact that Matt Eberflus secretly has 2 years left on his contract. A lot of people thought it was a four-year deal, making him a lame duck heading into next year with only 1 year left. But a lot of people are now speculating that he has 2 years left, making it more and more making it less likely that the McCaskey family would move on and pay off that dead money? Does this hinder Ryan Poles and his picking process to find the best person to coach the Chicago Bears, the best person to develop the number one pick in the draft, Caleb Williams, to take him and put him in a position to fulfill the potential that we all hope that we have for him? It's scary times. Shane Waldron out the door. So for Matt Eberflus now, in 2.5 years as a coach, we got 8 games left here, people. He has now dismissed 8 coaches in that 2.5-year span. 2 of them were dismissed for reasons that I don't think the Chicago Bears would really want you to know about. And I'm not going to get into it. You can Google that yourself. And these things continue to stack for Matt Eberflus. 8 hires that he's had to fire in 2.5 years. We've talked about his mishandling of timeouts. We've talked about his lack of instincts on challenging plays during games. I've talked about handling of multiple decisions. This one in particular. After this game on Sunday, he had to get up and stand in front of the media on Monday and tell them that we're still evaluating the situation with Shane Waldron. Part of that also makes me think that because Shane Waldron signs a 3-year deal, maybe that there was something legal that they had to go through with the lawyers and the Chicago Bears to clean that up before he can make an official announcement. But again, slow to the switch on everything. The quote-unquote, people like to throw it out there that Matt Eberflus has developed players for the Chicago Bears. I'm still looking for the first player that he's really developed. Like, let's be really honest here. I think we like what we see from Jervon Dexter. I think we love the potential of players like Kyler Gordon. We love the potential of players like Tyreek Stevenson. But again, I ask you, and I asked this on last week's show, how many Pro Bowlers has Ryan Poles drafted? I will hang up and listen, because the answer, as of this moment, is 0. He has had 12 picks in the first 4 rounds of drafts. How many of those has he spent on offensive linemen? He spent 2. A first-round pick on Darnell Wright, and another pick this last year with Karan Amagaji, who was drafted at the time as an injured player. That's not throwing shade on the player. We'll see what he becomes as an NFL prospect. But 12 picks, former offensive lineman, in the first 4 rounds, when you get the best talent out there, the best 120 players that enter the draft every single year, and you only pick 2 offensive linemen? At some point, you got to put this on the player and say, some of these guys that have gotten better, is this really Matt Eberflus? Or is this just players putting in time, honing their craft, and getting better? We want to applaud Ryan Poles for the Montez Sweat trade. And I do too. I like Montez Sweat as a player. But we also can't, out of the same mouth on the other side of it, talk about how, well, oh, Khalil Mack's contract was such a problem. Yes, he got older, but we gave that same amount of money and made that same calculated risk or gamble on a defensive player. And I will be willing to say that Khalil Mack is a better player than Montez Sweat and more impactful. Montez Sweat has time to prove me wrong and fulfill the contract that they gave him. But come on here. It's a cycle, and it keeps happening over and over and over again. When it comes to Shane Waldron, man, this goes beyond just not working with the X's and O's. There is something legit going on. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes everyone thinks that sometimes when people don't get along, it's because one of the forces in the relationship is a bad person, is mean or cruel, a jerk, someone who isn't thoughtful, someone who's insulting. That isn't always the case. Especially in business, and everyone listening, you guys know this. You probably work with people that are really nice, decent people, but just simply aren't up to the job. People that can't raise their level to meet yours. And it becomes a problem because it starts messing with your success. And clearly, that's what's happened with the Chicago Bears and Shane Waldron. It wasn't just the results on the field. You can tell as weeks went on that players were growing increasingly frustrated with Shane Waldron's coaching style, his game plan, his install, his in-game decisions across the board. And I'll tell you, it really stinks. Sometimes, you know, in the offseason, I didn't say that Shane Waldron was going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. I wanted to give him an opportunity. But man, some of the red flags and things that you heard from Seattle Seahawks people complaining about Shane Waldron all ended up being true. They said he doesn't know how to scheme up a run game. Have we seen consistency on that front? Have we seen a run game that's able to take some pressure off of our rookie quarterback? No, we haven't. The innovation with the concepts in the passing game, they complained about that too as well. And Seattle Seahawks, I think they mostly just depended on speed, because if you talk people that really know NFL, really know ball, I will tell you that there is a disconnect between Shane Waldron and some of his mentors that he gets attached to in the NFL. Now, a lot of people, when they like to praise Shane Waldron, will say, well, he came from the tree of Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan. Sean McVay, coach of the Los Angeles Rams, and Kyle Shanahan, coach of the 49ers. Both teams have been to Super Bowls. The Rams won a Super Bowl. Both of them offensive-minded head coaches. Both of them call their own plays, and both of them are known as some of the more innovative and brilliant offensive minds in the game today. A lot of people say, well, Waldron came from that tree. But then if you listen and talk to actual people in the NFL that know their stuff, they will say that Shane Waldron actually doesn't incorporate a lot of the things that Shanahan and McVay do into their offense. Red flag much? You don't need to Google it, trust me. They predicate a lot of their offensive schemes and systems on what we call in-cuts. Shane Waldron does not incorporate those. And we knew it from the time in the beginning. They didn't run a first 15. You watch some of these plays, man. Why can't we get DJ Moore involved in the game unless it's a bubble screen or an end-around? That means the guy can't figure it out. So it's a sad turn of events. And now the biggest question moving forward isn't winning football games. The biggest question moving forward is how do we protect Caleb Williams from this dumpster fire? Because I will tell you this, a lot of people knock yourself out. 22 years old, 9 NFL games. Every week I feel like I need to do this where I keep counting how many games he's been around. I got to give my rookie quarterback or my young quarterback 30 games, 30. You heard me. Before I start really digging in on what he is and what he isn't. But I will tell you this. A lot of people, no matter what this situation is, think that Caleb Williams is going to be just fine, still is going to be great, still is going to have talent. I'm telling you right now that that is no longer a guarantee. And that old tall tale that I had growing up, that I told George Hoffman about how Chicago Bears ruined quarterbacks, and I said, man, it can't be that simple. Man, I'm starting to believe it is that simple. The Chicago Bears, the way that they're currently constructed with this coaching staff, with 8 games to go, 1,000% can break or ruin Caleb Williams if they are not careful. I have said it on the show before. I'm going to say it again. And it pains me to bring this up one more time. I was having fun, and I did a little bit of a bit, and I talked about this horror movie that came out. It's been around since I was little, and it's this horror movie where if a quarterback watches this movie, he will therefore be ruined, and all of his skills will erode and disappear. Much like that movie, The Ring, this is called The Ruining. The Ruining. And the Chicago Bears know it like nobody's business. The ruining of potential in a quarterback. You could say what you want about Jay Cutler. Did they ever give him an offensive line? Did they ever give him a number one right wide receiver? Did they ever get the offensive coordinator right? No, they didn't. I will say to this very day, and I've talked to people in the business that Matt Nagy sold the Bears organization on being able to coach Mitch Trubisky, and at some point, probably in the 2019 season, training camp, beginning of the year, whatever you want to call it, he suddenly realized that he couldn't do it, and he turned his back on Mitch and bailed on him. Whether he was right or whether he was wrong, that is a version of ruining a young quarterback. Justin Fields, hey, we're going to sit him, let him learn. Andy Dalton goes down, Justin Fields go right in, gets sacked by the Cleveland Browns 9 times, no big deal. He'll be fine. Get rid of Matt Nagy, bring in Matt Eberflus. And what Matt Eberflus has done specifically, and we saw it on Hard Knocks, he likes getting involved in the offensive rooms, is I think he coaches risk out of players. I know you want to protect the football, but as a defensive-minded head coach, I think he's trying to minimize some of that flair that maybe Caleb Williams could be trying to accentuate, learn, grow, develop at the NFL level. And when you look at the way this offensive line is now, and you look at some of the past concepts and the way that this offense has been structured for quite some time now, you 1,000% can ruin Caleb Williams if you weren't careful. Let's be real. We talk about the 3-game winning streak, and it was fun while it lasted, Bears fans. It was great. But if you look at it, they won the Tennessee Titans game. That offense looked terrible that day. And a lot of us try to chalk it up to Caleb Williams, which is very fair, and I think he should take a certain amount of blame for that game specifically. The game after that, the Houston Texans didn't play well, got behind the eight ball. Indianapolis Colts had their opportunities, but again, didn't really scheme up any opportunities to get the Chicago Bears in a position to maybe, you know, have an advantage at any moment. They're always playing from behind. 3-game winning streak, and then the Washington Commanders game, to Caleb's credit, big fourth quarter drive, take the lead, lose it on the Hail Mary. And then 2 huge goose eggs offensively with the Arizona Cardinals and the New England Patriots. 3 points against the New England Patriots? I mean, how low can you go, Chicago Bears? It's limbo time. 12 points in the last 2 weeks. And they've got to be really careful here with Caleb Williams and that confidence. Caleb Williams and his belief in wanting to be a Chicago Bear in the next few years. And I think that there's a lot going on with Caleb Williams too as well, where clearly, when we talk about the inaccuracy, and I'm not telling you this is an excuse, I'm telling you to just keep an eye on it, and it's the reason why I'm hedging on making a declaration right now of Caleb's a bust or Caleb is great. Caleb and the accuracy we all know has been a real thing all season long. The deep ball simply isn't there, and now we're even seeing some intermediate stuff kind of going by the wayside. And I've talked about it a little bit before, but I am really curious to see that, one, when you talk to quarterbacks, the feet, the timing with the feet, and your mechanics throwing the ball and in rhythm with the route that's being asked of you is a huge part of success. And if they aren't on the same page with the wide receivers and Shane Waldron is calling these concepts that have poor timing, you could start to second guess yourself a little bit and, oh, I don't know, maybe hold the ball in the pocket a little bit longer than you would like. The other part about it too as well is that you can tell that Caleb Williams is either trying to go through a mechanical change in real time that's probably necessary for his success at the NFL level. And I just don't think he's trusting the ball that's coming out of his hands. I played baseball for years. And from a pitching aspect, we call it guiding the ball, where you're actually not really, you know, you're not hitting your release point. You're just really just trying to make sure that you're doing it. You're overcompensating a little bit. And the play calling simply isn't helping him. And whether this gets itself ironed out and whether this becomes a persistent issue, nobody can say for sure, no matter how many times you want to comment on YouTube below. We don't know, but I think that there's a lot going on with him right now. So if you just want to get back to the meat and potatoes, you got to get the confidence of the quarterback back up. We will see with Thomas Brown. I'm rooting for the guy because I got no other choice. We got 8 games to go with this thing. We're 9 in, and we're already at the lowest of lows of recent Chicago Bear history, if not my lifetime. We got 8 more. We can take it lower, people. This schedule is going to get incredibly hard. I am beyond shocked when I talk on this show at this 3-game stretch with the Commanders, the Cardinals, and the Patriots. I thought we could sweep those games. I thought we can go 2-1. We lost all of them. There are no layups coming up for this Chicago Bears team. And it's hilarious too, right? You guys, if you've been listening here, Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos here in WLS AM 890. Thanks for sticking around. I mean, we are a good 40 plus minutes into the show, and I haven't even mentioned the fact that the Chicago Bears play the Green Bay Packers. It's Bears Packers week. And the Chicago Bears, and even the Bears fans and everyone covering them right now, isn't even really paying attention to the game. For those that come back to the show, I always do a preview, my keys to a Chicago Bears victory versus their opponent each and every single week. I give you a game prediction too as well. I'm now 5-4 on my picks for the season. I've also hit a little bit of a skid, but there's so much else surrounding this team right now, in the present and in the big picture. And we're playing the Packers, our most hated rival, a team that I sports hate more than anything else on the planet. They are number 1. St. Louis Cardinals, number 2. Detroit Red Wings, number 3. Detroit Pistons, number 4. And rounding it out at number 5, the Minnesota Twins. So let's do it. Let's take these last couple minutes here on the show, and let me try and preview Bears versus Packers. And look, I try and bring you statistics and trends and things that lean in a certain direction every single week, and honestly, I do not think that it matters this week. It really doesn't. You want to hear a news flash? Green Bay Packers have a good offense. Surprise, surprise. Green Bay Packers also have a top 5 to top 8 running game in the NFL. So if you want to talk about keys to the game, I'm telling you right now, you are going to learn a ton about this team and the tenor and where the temperature is right now between player and coach in this game immediately. Bears got to stop the run. And Green Bay is going to try and run it down our throat. When we're going to say we can't eat anymore, they're going to try and feed us some more. So when I talk to former Bears defensive end Cordy Wooten all the time, and he says from his old coach, Rod Marinelli, part of the Lovie Smith system, he used to say, I have to teach a guy how to rush the quarterback. I don't have to teach a guy to stop the run. I can find a guy off the street to stop the run because all it takes is effort, grit, and discipline. So if you want to know where the Chicago Bears stand, especially the Chicago Bears defense and the players stand with Matt Eberflus, you are going to learn everything that you need to know in that first quarter. Or are they rallying around the football when Green Bay runs it? Are they staying in their gaps? Are they getting discipline? Are they stuffing the run early? If they're not, it's going to be a long game, and it's going to tell you everything you need to know about where these players are with Matt Eberflus right now. And I'm telling you, this game terrifies me. For those of you listening for the first time, I've been doing this for a while. I haven't picked the Bears to beat the Packers. I mean, honestly, since 2019, 5 years. I mean, this is a prove it. It's a prove it to me. Until you show me, I'm going to go against you on this one. So when we're talking about Bears, Packers right now, with all this other stuff going on around this team, I got to tell you, I'm terrified about this matchup. Any team can surprise any team any given Sunday. I made that phrase up. Just kidding. You get my point. But this game is going to be more about what the Chicago Bears are all about and what they're going to be about with 8 games left of this season. Are they going to continue to turtle and spiral and disappear? Are we going to see this leadership council that the Bears have formed early on in the season, another red flag for Matt Eberflus? Are we going to see them put it together on the field? Are we going to see them continue to chirp on their podcasts and around town in between the weeks of the season? And any game with the Bears and the Packers, this is always a show-me game, and this is a show-me in so many different levels. And I will say this, that when it comes to Matt Eberflus, I'm out on him. I don't know exactly what he could do that would in any shape or any form endear me to having us continue this experience with him. He could win every single game the rest of this season, and even win a playoff game, and I still think the damage has been done. And the long-term success that I want for the Chicago Bears, I just don't see a future with him in it. There's been too many things that have gone wrong. I mean, if you're ever in a relationship, working, social, romantic, whatever it is, and the person continues to treat you like garbage and continues to show a pattern of poor behavior, but then takes you out to a really nice meal, and then you think everything is solved, that's where we are with Matt Eberflus. He has not been a good partner. As a Bears fan, we expect our coach to take care of us and try and win some football games, give us a bit of a schematic advantage. It just hasn't happened. And when it comes to this Bears-Packers game, I am rightfully terrified. And the way that I'm feeling about this particular situation right now leads me to have a final score of Green Bay Packers 28, Chicago Bears 17. Now, 17 points, lose by 11, not going to feel good, but guess what? That is a marked improvement from what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. If you're telling me this Chicago Bears offense gets you 2 touchdowns and a field goal, 2 of them maybe come from the arm of Caleb Williams, we got to view that as nothing else but progress. If you're Thomas Brown, my only advice, honestly, is go back to some of the more fundamental aspects of running offense at any level. Run the football, get play action, and when you get play action, set yourself up with your quarterback to take some shots down the field. If Caleb's got to throw 3 interceptions in this game, so be it. But let's go big game hunting. Because if he nails a couple of them, guess what? It's the couple more than he's seen all season long. He hasn't had many of them. Let's walk out of this game with some good tape. And if the Bears win, I'm not coming on next week being like, problem solved, Matt Eberflus is great, we're back in it. I mean, this is going to take a while for me to even get to that particular place. I mean, I love beating me some Packers. That will make me feel good. I will be excited, but deep down, bigger picture, I know where this is all heading, and this is heading towards the Chicago Bears once again making huge changes across the organization. That's going to do it here on Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos. I want to thank everyone for tuning in here on WLS AM 890. I'm here every single Saturday night talking Chicago Bears and Chicago sports with you, so I do appreciate it. You can follow me at Joey Sports Guy if you want to on socials. Or you can follow us at Sports Talk Chi if you would like to. I appreciate the time. I appreciate the listen. Chicago, enjoy your Saturday night. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And I will talk to you next week.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.